Blog Talk Radio.
Praise and thanks. Mojuba Akoda, Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Alua Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun to all the God children, Mojuba Egun to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights and New Power Radio Network. We are also sponsored by Manhood, Race, and Culture, headed up by my co-host on Tuesday nights, Dr. James Jones, out of Houston, Texas. Please check out Manhood, Race, and Culture on Facebook, as well as on the World Wide Web at manhoodraceculture.com. We also please support Unity Design. Unity Design is headed up by my beloved brother, Arlie Gordon, out of Detroit. Please hit Arlie up on Facebook as well as on the World Wide Web at unitydesign.com, and Unity is spelled UNITEE. Also, we want to welcome to the New Power Radio Network family, AAES, which stands for the All African Empowerment Society, headed up by my co-host tonight, Brother Laquay Jewell. Peace, Brother Laquay.
Peace. How you doing, Queen?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Everything has been going well.
I see, I see. So I see there was a celebratory post that went up that marked the 5,000 mark. Can you talk a little bit about, well, introduce yourself for those who may be new briefly, and then tell a little bit about AAES and the celebration that happened.
Okay, I am the National Project Lead for the All African Empowerment Society campaign, The Gathering. I'm not the head of the All African Empowerment Society, the organization itself. I'm just one of the project leads for one of their campaigns. But we started a campaign back in 2016, March, and we were our goal is to get 60,000 people to give us their consent or to take a pledge, basically saying that they support the idea that we should have our own independent economic support system that is run without corruption, in other words, a treasury. And our first milestone was 5,000 pledges. And about a week and a half ago, we reached that 5,000 mark. So that's what we've been celebrating, pretty much that we reached our first milestone. And our next milestone is 15,000, and that's when a lot of the magic really begins to happen. We're currently in 30-plus states, over 60 cities, and we're moving forward towards the total goal of 54 regions nationally and 300 cities nationally.
All right, all right. I want to ask those who are part of AAES, please push one if you would like to chime in and join in the conversation. We want to try to, take the conversation to the next level, Brother Laquay. We've talked over the past few weeks about the concept of having our own treasury, the reasoning behind it, some of the expertise that you have at the table, the fact that this is an all-inclusive process, that anyone who wants to be a part of this, as long as they are of melanated descent, is welcome to participate, because we're looking at the community as from an asset base versus looking at it from the needs base, which historically is what a lot of the social service agencies and a lot of groups have done over and over again for decades, and it just has not worked. So if we keep doing the same things we've always done, then we're always going to get the same results. So I'd like for you to express to the listeners how special this opportunity is and what it could possibly mean, not only to those who are laying the foundation, but to the future generations as well.
Well, a treasury, as opposed to a bank, is actually the repository. It is the storage of accumulated wealth of the nation. Its objective, its mission, is to spend that accumulated wealth or invest that accumulated wealth, as in sowing seeds or planting seeds into the community in order for it to prosper. Its purpose is circulation of resources. Specifically currency or capital. So therefore, for future generations, if we don't plant, you know, just to use an analogy, if we don't plant at the beginning of the season, we won't have a harvest. You know, if we don't lay down the foundation today, there won't be a harvest for future generations. And what we've been doing is, for the most part, building on sand. So that when the tide comes in, whatever one generation has created gets washed away. And that tide happens to be not just white supremacy, but also the normal tide that is associated with time and growth. So white supremacy comes along and kicks over the sandcastle that we may have built, and then the regular tide of time comes in and washes away as if it was never there. What we must do is begin the process of, one, removing white supremacy or our enemies from the equation when it comes time for us to establish what it is we need and what it is we need to do. That's independent of external forces. When we start to determine the how and the when, then we take into account those things that are external to just ourselves. And then when we actually do, we prepare for not only our enemy, but the changes that come along with just the normal tide of time. So it is very important for us to view ourselves in the best light possible, regardless of what may be reality. You know, if you are a narcotic addicted person, or you are alcoholic addicted person, or any other thing that you may have that is winning or beating your personal will and you are addicted to it, if you're trying to recover, you don't start the process by downing yourself. You start the process by recognizing your talents, your strengths, and then you begin the process of rejecting those things that make you weak, getting over the denial, and you begin the process of speaking positive and speaking wealth and speaking life and all of those things into yourself so that you can begin the process of recovery. Many, 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 many of our past leaders and our current people who aspire to be leaders have been burned based upon efforts that they have taken within our communities in which they expected the people to rally behind them, or, you know, this is so simple, so easy, they definitely going to get it and they're going to wake up and nothing happened. And they may have met with a considerable amount of failure, not just failure socially and but also failure within their personal lives because of it. Many of our leaders have problems at home in their marriages, problems in their finances, because they do things that are sacrificial to their family and themselves in order to assist us as a whole or as a collective, not necessarily because they just have good hearts, but also because they're driven to do so by whatever force or mechanisms, you know, makes them want to do more for their people. And then in reverse, so they're bitten. Then in reverse, you have our people, many of us who would like to see us move forward, would like to see us get out of this situation, and we start to invest and we give our time and we give our resources towards whoever may be, you know, sounding the horn or whoever may be coming up with a new plan and so on and so forth, that they may know more, better than we do. At least that's the trust that we give them, only to find out that this person is flawed, to find out that this plan may be flawed, or to find out that they just meant to do us harm and to take our own money. So we as a people are also bitten. So there's mistrust for any endeavor that is RBG related or black nationalist related or African related or something that is there for us as a people to improve us. But we want extra, 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 extra guarantees. And in life, there are no guarantees, not even a guarantee that we will make it through this phone call. No guarantees that when we wake up in the morning that we will wake up, or when we walk out the door that we will come home safely. These are facts and reality. So what we've done was to create a process in which we get the consent or the buy-in of the people, which is the pledge, where we simply ask you, do you believe we need our own independent economic support system? If that answer is yes, then if we were to create an institution that was free of corruption, that you benefited from, that our economy benefited from, and that was run by professionals with integrity, would you support it? If those questions are yes, you know, the answers to those questions are yes, then we ask you to take the pledge, to give us your consent, to begin this process, to create the very thing that is necessary for us to evolve into a nation and to get out of the situation that we find ourselves in. And then we go to the leadership, those who are also once bitten, twice shy, and tell them, look, these people, and here's the number, are willing to support this endeavor. And this is the minimum amount necessary for us to proceed. Are you willing to devote your time, your resources to developing this particular institution so that we can prosper as a whole? And then as time progresses, it is our belief that many, many more will also come to the aid and begin the process of supporting this institution, because we will demonstrate, readily demonstrate day one, what we are about, what the mission is, and how the Treasury will benefit our economies immediately, our wealth situation immediately. We have not had this institution before. We haven't had an institution like it. So therefore, it's something that is not necessarily new to everyone else, but it's new to us, and it will symbolize a degree of maturity of us as a people towards what we all aspire to be and to have, which is nationhood. Many of us who say that they don't, they just cling to the United States or to other things that are in their current environment because they're afraid of anything else. But reality is we do aspire to have our own. So many of us just don't think it's possible, but we're going to show you that it is possible. But we can't show you unless we take the necessary steps. And the necessary steps are first for us to come together, the coalition of the willing, which are the people that we hope will take the pledge, and then to create the mechanism, the machine, the tool that will deliver us into an age of independence, which is the treasury itself.
Indeed, Brother LaClay, thank you for expressing that. And we want to invite the listeners and those who may be just now learning about AAES or IVES to please go to the website. You can find it on the World Wide Web at aaesociety.org. There you will find a description of AAES, its campaign, the programs, and the context. And we consider ourselves family. So let's talk about that, Brother LaClay, as far as us, you know, how we deal with each other in an atmosphere of mutual respect and love, and regardless of where we are economically, educationally, or spiritually even, we are looking for people who want to get involved in something, maybe even take a certain amount of risk that others in the past may not have been willing to take. So talk about the importance of the relationship building as AAES and the gathering continues to grow.
Well, we've run across many, many other organizations, some of them hospitable, some of them not. At the end of the day, what we recognize more than anything else is the idea that we are all kin, that we are all family. It is important for us to be aware of and to recognize not just the current modern day bonds that we may have amongst ourselves, but to recognize the ancient bonds, which is why it's important for us to remember who our ancestors are and where we come from. Anything that would have you pull away from your ancestors or the people that you are descended from, you know, to make it more direct and personal, is an attempt to destroy your history. Anything that attempts to destroy your history attempts to place you into a status of being lost, because it's similar to walking into a cave, because every new experience in life leads you further and further into the cave of time. And if you don't remember where you were, then you don't remember where you are, and you don't know whether or not you're going around in circles repeating the same processes. It's important to know who your family is and those who came before you, so you can realize where you came from as a family. We don't tend to teach these things or talk about these things in the United States simply because most of the people who have come here as immigrants, meaning the Europeans, their goal was to forget their past because they hated their past, and their goal was to pretty much strive to be something more than what they were in Europe. Whereas our ancestors were many of them, and not just the ones that came in from the continent, but those who were here in North America or South America to begin with. Our ancestors had a very long and rich historical tradition that we maintained and was part of every new birth and was part of every new marriage and so on and so forth. So our mooring or our anchor in this world was our ancestral history so that we could understand what it is that we need to do next. This creates bonds, just like if you ran across somebody that is from your hometown, you may not even been cool with them. But if you've been in California for the past 10 years and you run across somebody who's from your home city that may be in Philadelphia, you immediately have a bond that you cling to this person. And you say, oh, wow, you're from Philly, I'm from Philly too. And you start to talk about Philadelphia or whatever it may be or whatever town you come from. The idea is you have things that you can relate to, things that you can connect with one another. And we need to get ourselves into a situation where we have a lot more positive bonds, a lot more positive things that we can relate to with one another. other than the vices that we may have. And we tend to bond with each other on vices. We need to start bonding with each other on our positive strengths and will. As we build the relationships with the All African Empowerment Society, the Gathering Campaign, it's important for us to get the message out there. I don't know what other programs that other organizations may have in place or whatever it is that they're doing. We don't even claim that our program is the chief program because in reality, we don't necessarily have a program. What we have is a skeleton plan with the idea that we agree that the what we need to do is create a treasury. How that treasury should be run, who should run that treasury, all these things, everybody is welcome to come to the table and have their input. Everybody is welcome. Everybody that's melanated is welcome to come to the table and have their input, literally. So if you fill out this pledge or you give us your consent, you can basically mark down there, place your resume, and you will be asked to come to the table when it's time for us to come to the table and do the planning. Nobody is barred, no organization, no group, no particular frame of mindset. If what you bring to the table is what is considered to be credible, then it will be included, and nobody is considered to be a crackpot or off the wall. So that goes to anybody who is part of the Moorish Temple, anybody who is part of the Nation of Islam, anybody who is part of the Indigenous Peoples of North America, anybody that is part of the RBG community, anybody that is part of the Kemetu community, anybody that is part of any of these views or viewpoints of African, of the different viewpoints of the African worldview, you are welcome at the table. All of our input will go into making this thing successful, and it is necessary that you're actually there. But if you stand off to the side and you look at, well, what are they doing, and you don't give your input, that's on you. But in reality, this thing will be created, and we want all of our people to have an input and be able to submit people to be on the various boards that will be in charge of governing it. And our goal is not to be part of the economic system of the United States. Our goal is to manage our wealth independent of any and every people on this earth except under God. And our purpose is to move our nation regardless of whether it's in these borders or any other border towards a new future that our children can be proud of that we have laid the foundation for by every means necessary. Are you there, Queen?
I'm sorry, I was muted. Thank you, Brother
McKay. Okay.
Yeah, I want to remind listeners to please go to AAESociety.org, check out the website. One of the first things that you'll see is a beautiful picture of a statue of a birthing ceremony and a king holding up a newborn African baby. And then you look over to the right of that picture, and then you have the AAES symbol and the symbology there. And we are people who communicate even through pictures. So, Brother LeCay, please talk about the emblem that's there on the AAES page and explain its significance and meaning.
The emblem next to in the logo?
Yes.
I believe if you're talking about the specific logo that's right next to the A, that is actually a depiction of the continent of Africa, right side up, which is with the south pointing towards the top and the north pointing down. It is on the top or the pinnacle of a pyramid, and to the left and right of it are two rhinoceros horns. The rhinoceros is actually a very sacred animal that was considered to be depictive of what the continent actually looks like when you basically turn it with the east up and the west down. It looks like the head of a rhinoceros. So the continent itself was seen as a rhino. So given the fact that our rhinos are being hunted into extinction by Western hunters and that are basically hunting them on behalf of Asians, for the medicinal market or the natural medicinal market, because they believe the horn to be valuable in terms of health and medicinal purposes. Why those that particular horn was chosen. And then obviously it sits on top of the pyramid, which is one of our greatest achievements in terms of monument on the continent, most readily known. So ICE, All African Empowerment Society, sees not just the African continent, but the globalness of Africa and all of its diaspora, whether it be Eastern diaspora or Western diaspora, what we term as Diaspora 1 and Diaspora 2. So the purpose there is we are a global people, and our goals and our mission is not just part of the continent. Africa has always been more than just that particular landmass. Africa as a continent alone, and that's what it symbolizes or recognizes in terms of our people, is a modern or European construct. We have traveled the world prior to the Europeans and have seen our territories to be global. So ICE has the same perspective.
Thank you, Brother McQuay. And again, going back to the website, you have a greeting of Naja. Can you talk about what that greeting means and why it's significant, especially its importance to eyes?
Naja is a word that is part of a language called Majaisa, which means the sound of God or the song of God. It is, which is the same thing that universe means, but it is a word that is a power word. It could be used as a greeting or an affirmation or to be affirmative in whatever statement that you're making. But even more so, it means perfect peace, perfect truth, perfect cipher. So if something is correct, you know, when we say Ashe, Naja means something similar to what Ashe means. Ashe is more of what you would say in terms of in agreement or yes, or you're saying power to. Naja says all of those things, and it basically says perfect cipher, meaning perfect circle, meaning it's also a thank you. So if you were to, somebody gave you something and it was more than just a good thing, but it was full circle, it was good on so many different levels, that's Naja. In which many people say peace. It's just another greeting, like many of our greetings that mean the same thing as peace. Ashe, and then Naja. But Naja has one extra meaning, which all powerful, which is another thing that is associated. So you could literally say Naja in the middle of a war cry, or you say Naja in the middle of a celebration, or, you know, you mean business, you mean Naja. So that's the meaning of that.
Naja, thank you for that, Brother
Naja.
McQuay.
Mm-hmm.
And we do greet each other. We do greet each other in that manner. So for those who may be new to this experience, feel free to do that and educate those who are around you on its meaning, because there is power in the tone and the pronunciation and the greeting and the ashe. There is power in that, and so don't be afraid to use it. So Brother McQuay, one of the things that I've looked at recently was a report by CNN, and it talks about five very distinct statistics that speak on the economic divide in the black community, even between us and Hispanics. So it says that the median household for a black family is around $35,400. For Hispanic family, it's about $42,500. And for white families, it is $60,250. And it says the average median household wealth for whites is $134,200. The median household wealth for Hispanics is $13,730. And again, you know, blacks bring up the tail end of that at 11,034 median household wealth. And there are some other statistics on home ownership and unemployment and the poverty rate as well, which I'm sure we'll get to before this discussion is over. But talk a little bit about how important it is for our people to get out here and do their own research to validate that if they have any hesitancy in investing in the gathering and becoming a part of it, these statistics definitely should help, I guess, substantiate the fact that we are in an economic deficit across the board, and for as many generations as many of our ancestors and our elders have worked blood, sweat, and tears in this country, we definitely should be a lot more economically secure than what we currently are. So talk a little bit about how important it is that when people do their own research, find out what's going on for themselves to validate their importance in this thing, and two, how can we look at changing that, and what are some of the steps that we're going to have to take?
Well, the first step that we're going to have to take is we need to take our individualism and throw it out the window. The concept of Western or European individualism does not apply well to African people. It actually disintegrates our bond that we were talking about earlier. We don't need our bonds to be disintegrated. We already have enough negative bonds. We need our bonds to be strengthened, and we need to see ourselves as being tied to one another in terms of everything that we do. Everyone else is practicing group economics on their own. They don't need us to continue to score they don't need us to be able to have to continue to score points for them. They need us to start scoring points for ourselves. I always look at it this way. We are part of a say we're part of a basketball league, and you know, you got the Asian team, you got the quote-unquote Latino team, you got the Caucasian team, and you got our team. When we show up to play in a championship game or any type of game, it could be a skirmish that we're playing. Rather than score points in our own basket, you may have one of our players that they go down and they score points. All right, so we get points on the board. But the rest of the players are smoking and joking, and they run down and they score baskets for the other team just to show how well they can jump, just to show that, you know, they're capable of being able to do that for whoever that may give them some individual accolades in doing that. So, yeah, I'm the top earner for New York Life. You know what I mean? I'm showing you how to do things, and I'm setting it up and I'm showing you how this thing is done. You see the car I drive, you see the clothes I'm wearing, you see the different things and so on and so forth. These things are personal accolades, braggadocious behavior, small intellect, small ego type people who basically are aspiring to be more of what white supremacy considers the right thing to be, or white society or American society is, you know, your piece of the apple pie, your piece of the American dream. But you're working for a company that basically got its start making money off of enslaved Africans, literally, right? It's one of the main corporations, New York Life, you know that. It's one of the main corporations who made money off of insuring slave cargo. So if you have this type of company that you work for and you have no knowledge that this is their history and where they come from, and you are actually bragging about being their number one earner and how you're making money for them because you make a little bit of pennies for yourself along the way, and you might scoff at the idea of what the gathering is doing. Oh, we can't come together. We don't need any treasury. Man, we'll probably get together and we'll F that up too. You know, these type of attitudes and behaviors are attitudes that were created and fostered on the plantations. These were the types of personalities that were bred to be in existence. And the reason for that is that this helps to further advance the economics of those other teams that we're playing against. Our individual, quote-unquote, players to no longer play for the very team that they are a member of and to come play for their team, then obviously we begin to lose. So it's important to do your research, but even if you do your research, but you're against your own people, you don't want to win, and you don't understand the process of winning, it doesn't matter how many statistics I throw at you. At the end of the day, you're going to end up, at the end of the day, you're going to end up opposing success, not for yourself, but success for your team. There are many, many, many examples just for me to walk into a black community where we are right now, and I could look at people and I could tell you this person's mentality, that person's mentality, and show you how their very mentality is helping to destroy our people, even though emotionally and in their mind, they're not trying to do that. But that's exactly what they're doing because they're unwilling to change any of their behaviors, they're unwilling to do the things necessary because it's work to actually participate to try and be an owner in this society. You're not going to be an employee. Everything is not going to be done for you. You have to be responsible for yourself. So these types of behaviors and these types of traits, which are necessary for us to become winners, is necessary for us as individuals to begin to change within ourselves and actually give up a little bit of our personal power in order for us to have group power. And if we did that, the sum of the whole is greater than the sum of our parts. So no matter how many it is in terms of our numbers, if we do band together, we're more powerful than however many of us do decide to do that. So if 10 of us come together, it's not just 10 of us that are uniting. It's actually a new entity where there's not just 10, but there's 11. And this is a process that everyone else has pretty much figured out. The Chinese have figured it out, and that's why they're pretty much beating the Caucasians today. So we need to figure it out ourselves, because at the end of the day, this power will not prevail, just like all powers must fall, all powers must fail. But where will we sit? Because they've convinced the world that we are the last. They've convinced the world that we are the worst. And they've convinced the world that we are deserving of destruction. So we ourselves have to set ourselves up to see that as not being the case and do what's necessary to change that. And that begins with our own individual attitudes and behaviors and willingness to do small things that are necessary that actually amount to being more than just those small things when we do them together. You there, Queen?
I'm sorry, everybody. I had to put the earpiece down for a second. Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, you got the grandkids you babysit.
Okay, I just want to remind the listeners, if you're listening on your computer, please dial in at 917-889-8059. 917-889-8059. And for those who are listening on their phones, please push 1 to come into queue and become a part of the dialogue. We are going to take a break at the top of the hour. But Brother LaCroix, one of the things that we talked about earlier in the week when Dr. James Jones was on was how the fact that gentrification has dismantled a lot of the communal connections that we used to have as a group of people in our communities, even if we were of low income or, you know, unsubsidized housing, things like that, we still had that communal connection until gentrification took over. Now, I know that you aren't in the position to answer for the entire AAES and the movement as a whole, the society as a whole, but please let the listeners know what your experience has been as far as this witnessing any changes you've seen in the African community that has caused such the economic gap that we just talked about.
Well, I haven't. If I understand your question correctly, I haven't seen too much of a change towards the positive. It's really trying to swim up a waterfall. It shouldn't be this hard, but it is, and it's about basic things. It's very. It is a very wicked and a very evil thing to actually get a people to knowingly commit suicide, to basically destroy themselves in multiple ways, and to actually enjoy doing so in the process. So that has not changed. Just heard it the other way. That has not changed and continues to be problematic when it comes to organizing. Another thing that I have seen is an unwillingness to sacrifice, unwillingness to help out some of the sisters who may either be widows or be single mothers because they don't have the money. So I'm not going to help her. Unwillingness to help some of the elders because they don't have the money. So I'm not going to help them. An unwillingness to help a brother who may be down on his luck, actually to kick him a little bit because he is down on his luck. These type of behaviors, they're not new, but they become exacerbated when you yourself are experiencing negativity within your own household or within your own economy. You know, the amount of people in our community that are unemployed right now is through the roof. God forbid, and I don't mean like really God forbid, but I mean like, could you imagine what would happen if they just turned off food stamps? Just turned off that. That in and of itself would mean that many of our people would begin to immediately suffer, and then we would get all of that because they would come to their families for aid. And those families represent those of us who may be working or may be better off, and then what do? Do we give in and start to help out wherever we can? Do we ridicule them? Or do we begin the process of trying to then aggregate? See, we respond to things after the fact. We behave reactionary. We don't behave in a proactive way when we should behave in a proactive way. Because we don't see ourselves as being in charge. We don't see ourselves as being owners. And I don't mean just sorry, owning property. I just mean being free people underneath God. So it's important for us to start the process of changing our orientation first and foremost. Because our orientation is what's getting us wrong. How we view our situation is a lie for the most part. We're not free. We're not free by a long shot. Just because you move around and you're not in a cage doesn't mean you're free. But we're not in a situation where we're doing well. Just because you got a nice house doesn't mean you're doing well, or you're probably floating in debt. You know, and if it wasn't for the community around you, you would probably suffer. So, I mean, all of these things are misnomers that are meant to divide. And a lot of it's done not just through white world supremacy, but one of the mechanisms of white world supremacy, which is capitalism, which keeps most people divided regardless of race or ethnicity. It's just for the purposes of exploiting them. So it just so happens that we tend to be the ones who are exploited the most because we probably have the smallest amount of education, and I don't mean academic education, I just mean knowledge. And in addition, we don't have a lot of this being taught in the areas in which we gravitate the most. Since ancient times, we've always been a highly religious or highly spiritual people. So the main places where they place a lot of the poison are in our spiritual tradition. In this country, it will be both the mosque and the churches, primarily the churches, because the mosques don't necessarily have a long-standing history going back during the days of enslavement, as the churches do. So therefore, if any of these institutions were created during enslavement or shortly thereafter, or during the periods before integration, you can expect that the majority of their traditions and teachings and so forth will be something that is placating or passive. So therefore, those types of behaviors and those types of traditions need to go away. This is not time for us to sit on our hands and pray. This is time for us to pray and go do. All right? So, and notice, I didn't take out the prayer. I'm not knocking people for seeking God or seeking the guidance of the spiritual. I just think it's time for us to start talking about what we should do, but to actually do it. And if you are saying things and saying this is what we need to do and you don't do them yourself, then no good. All foul. So that's what I see in the community. I see a lot of hypocrisy. And those of us who are not hypocrites need to step forward and show bravery and no cowardice. You there, Queen?
Peace, Brother LaCroix. We've got a caller in queue. I'm going to go ahead and open up a line. 5008, welcome to Sign of the Times. Who are we speaking with?
My name is Barbara Smalls, and I'm representing Long Island, New York. And I was just listening to Brother LaCroix speaking, you know, about how we have to come together collectively and not individually and want the same for each other. I agree with that. Also, once we as black people get that image of Michelangelo's son, who we were taught was Jesus Christ, once that is taken out of the picture, you know, I feel like black people would be able to open up mentally and stop being under that image of this, you know, this white God that they worship. Because for the simple reason, if you worship him not as being God, every time you look at someone who's white, you also look at them as being more superior than you are. And throughout my life, I have contributed many things to helping my people. I have received recognition from Rosa Parks for fighting injustice in America. I helped to open the first black maternity school for pregnant teenagers in Queens. And I plan on to still be there for my people, you know. When I look at eyes from me not being, I haven't been in, you know, in the cipher that long, but what I see in my mind's eye is a utopia of where, you know, I can live my life as a queen that I am and not as an image of a token person or as some type of idol, just, you know, to be who I am in society is hard because there's so many people who don't have knowledge of self and don't have knowledge of others. So instead, what they do is, as he was saying, they knock each, you know, we knock each other. Instead of being a village and instead of just being an individual, we have to take care of each other in order to grow. And I'm just grateful that I was, you know, turned on to this because I'm going to do all that I can to help my people and this village to grow.
Nadja.
Nadja.
Yes, first, I want to ask you a question. If you were to encounter someone who had never heard of AAES or IAES, what would you say to them? And if they had any hesitancy, how would you help them get over their fear?
Okay, well, I've been on Facebook trying to reach out to people who I know to show them that there is, you know, there's something different. If you don't try, you never know. I mean, you have to start somewhere. And I get tired of giving my disability check, you know, to Charlie around the corner or going to Macy's or Stop and Shop and all these other places. Where you go to a Chinese restaurant, you don't see black people working in a Chinese restaurant. You have bodegas where all you see is Hispanic people, and they're in our community, and we're giving them our money, and they're not giving us anything in return. So what I try to tell people about what I'm learning of this cipher is that we have to come together as one. You know, whatever you have to offer to this organization, you know, give it up. Give it up because, you know, what you put in is what you get out. And if you don't put anything into something new, you'll never know. I mean, you know, they say there's nothing new under the sun, and neither is this. I mean, because at one point in time, we all live together as kings and queens. So instead of us trying to be separated, and on that materialistic bandwagon to want to, you know, be a spokesperson for designers who aren't giving us back anything. You know, this is what I'm trying to implicate to people, that, you know, we have to start, we have to plant our own seeds, you know, because you reap what you sow. So another thing that I'm worried about is having any type of mark put upon me or my children or my grandchildren in order to eat. That's, you know, that's something that's coming into the future. And I don't want to be microchipped. I don't want to be to the point where, you know, in order for me to buy or sell, I got to give up my soul for it. So I'm, you know, I'm looking at this as something, as a, something that is great in my mind's eye.
Now, you know, Barbara, the way that things are currently, where our children go to schools with curriculums that they sanction and watch TV and watch television shows that teach them, you know, basically your viewpoint is not the viewpoint of the future, as though you're speaking some sort of gibberish, so that then when your children come home, they argue back at you and say, well, I want to be microchipped. See, these are the things that we have to act proactively to prevent, because
yes,
their mindset and the things that are being taught to them and the way that they're being made to feel and the perspectives they're being given are not that of our teaching. Those are, this is like someone coming in between you and your children and telling them, oh, you don't got to listen to your parents. They don't know what they're talking about. This is what you
right.
should do. That this is un-African.
Right.
And as long as we don't have economic power, we can't prevent this from happening. We can't sit there and protest this and it's going to stand and it's going to fly unless we're going to burn everything down, in which case we got a fight on our hands. So if the reality is economics are part of the – all of the protests that we're doing, economics must be tied into it. All of the other activities that we're doing, we can't just go to a fight and just have a knife. We need to have a knife, a shotgun, a pistol, everything, a rifle, everything necessary for us to win. And if we're serious about winning, then we'll be serious about money. We'll be serious about wealth, not necessarily their currency. And nothing is off the table. So there are no nuclear bombs. Oh, we're not going to use that. We will use everything and anything to secure our survival and the survival of our future generations. We have got to be deathly serious of the situation.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree with that. You know, we have an election coming up. You have two people that don't have my best interest at heart, no type of way.
And you got a murderer and a wannabe murderer. You got a murderer
exactly.
and a wannabe murderer.
And a person that has done mass incarceration of my people.
Right.
You know
That's
what I'm
murderer.
Saying? Yes,
That's
and I'm
murderer.
Fighting every day for my sons. You know, for their freedom, not just physically, but their freedom mentally. And it's you know, the brainwash is so deep with our people, man. It's like, you know, oh well, oh Master John, he's a good master. You know, he fed my family for generations. Okay, but now I want to feed my own family. I don't want Master to feed me. You know, or Willie Lynch. This Willie Lynch syndrome that we have, it has been going on for over 400, 600 years. You know what I'm saying? And it's still like, you know, I don't want to, like, sit at the back of the bus. I want to drive the bus. You know, I want to own the company. I want to be able for my people to say, well, I need a ride, sister. Okay, well, look, hey.
But you know, Sister Barbara, many people, even people who agree with you, because I got to speak to this group too, even people who might agree with everything you just said, you got to realize that this is a real fight. This is a real struggle. This is a real thing. It's going to cost you. If it was easy, then when Harriet Tubman would go raid some of those plantations, she would have did it during the daytime if it was easy.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't do it during the daytime. She did it at night. And then when she did do it, they had to keep moving. They couldn't stop. They had to go all the way. And everybody was at risk of losing their life. That's why people got scared when she showed up. What you trying to do? What you going to do? You know what I mean? She just showed up. And if you're ready to go, you're ready to go. You ain't ready to go, you stay right there. So we as a people, there are many of us that started this journey of this campaign There are many people who started and they wanted to be city reps, they wanted to be state reps, they wanted to be part of what we're doing, they agreed with what we're doing, and then they got out there and they started talking to our people and they ran into that avalanche. They mm-hmm. ran into that wall. They ran into that brainwash. They ran directly into that, nigga, you ain't doing nothing. That's some, y'all just trying to make money for yourselves. That's, they ran into all of that. And they quit. Do you hear what I'm telling you? They quit.
Right.
They got weak in the knees. I tried. I couldn't get people to do this and that, so on and so forth. Because this is not, this is a real fight. You have
to
struggle. You have to struggle. Because I'm struggling to save your life against you. Mm. Did you catch what I'm saying? I'm trying to save your life against your will.
Yes.
It's real easy for me to sit there and say, oh, you go ahead and die. Well, if you die, I'm going to die. I'm connected to your behind. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
I can't do anything about being connected to you. This is what it, this is. You come from the same source I come from. See, that's
right.
The thing that we don't get. We don't seem to register when we talk about unity. We unify mm-hmm. whether we want to be unified or not. It's just a question of, are you going to show me love?
That's right.
A real statement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm unified with you. I'm going to show you how I'm unified with you. If I see you broke down on the side of the road and I don't know you, but you a brother, I might stop and help you. If I see
right.
you hungry and I got money in my pocket, you ain't got to ask me for something. I'm going to be like, yo, you want something to eat? This is what you did. We come from a community where it's not even polite for you to sit there and eat in front of somebody if they ain't got some food either. All of these good traditions that we had when we was down south, when we came up north, a lot of us lost some of that.
That's right.
You know, and some of us in the South, we still don't have it. I got
some
books today. I was just curious, like, why the dude was even staring at me? I don't even know you like that. But, I look back at you. What's good with you? Everything peace? How you doing? All right, that's what it should be. But when we start getting into these other attitudes and other things because we're following that, we got a tendency of being non-confrontational. We don't say something to somebody. We too quick to be jived. All this got to change. And it doesn't change. It changed through leadership. I'm tired of listening to different pastors on pulpits to talk about shit that doesn't even matter. Excuse my language. It is irrelevant. I don't want to talk. Don't talk to me about saving my soul. I don't even know how to speak to people. The last scripture I remember saying, like, how can you sit there and say you love the Lord, but you can't even love your brother whom you see every day? So don't talk to me about being in the way of Christ and the way of this and the way of that or the that of Muhammad or whatever it is you believe in. And you sit there, and the same dude that you come from the same place, oh, you know, so-and-so locked up, serves him right. He's a dumb nigga anyway. Yeah, so whatever you, at that moment when you made that statement, whatever it is you believe in is like dirt to me. I'm tired of people playing at being spiritual teachers and playing at being spiritual people, but they don't know the first thing about it because they can't even show a little bit of love. Hypocrites, every single one of them. And I'm not saying that to down them. I'm saying that to say that we need to step up to the plate and start to do better. We need to have a better sense of integrity than what we're showing right now.
Because a lot of us are doubting Thomases, you know what I mean? I mean, it's like the saying goes, you know, this bow crabs. And when a lot of people are trying to get out of that situation, we have our people saying, oh, no, you can't leave me down like this. You got to come back here where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? And what we got to do is we got to pick each other up and we got to build each other up. I mean, I'm out here. We call this the plantation out here. There are mansions and, I mean, beautiful homes out here. But when you get to Roosevelt, you get to Freeport, you know what I'm saying? You get Hempstead, you get to them different type places, the property value goes way down. And you could go one block from here, I'm going to the next block, and it ain't nothing but mansions. But I know where my place is at. My place is not to step on that block. So basically all I'm saying is that I've always been a person who I love my people. I love my people. And I want better for my people, but I mainly want better for myself. So in order for me to have better, I have to share what I have with other people that want the same thing like I want. Because if not, I'm still going to be here in the position that I'm in now. I've been fighting a case for 8 years against Jacoby and Myers, who stole hundreds of thousands of dollars from me, and I was in a very bad automobile accident. And I've been told, oh, you need to just give this up. oh, they want to offer you this. It's not the principle about the money. It's the principle of the fact that you could take advantage of me, or that I wasn't intelligent enough to know or to read and understand and comprehend what I'm reading, that you just stole all this money from me. And I've been on television for it. And if I got to go back on television for it again, I will do that. I also advocate for prisoners. If I have to go back on television for that again, I will do that. We actually, the NAACP in Roosevelt, have, you know, we're trying to protest and boycott out here mass incarceration, because the indictment, black people here in Long Island don't go to trial. Okay? It's a 90% cop out because you don't have juries of your peers here. So if you try to prove you're innocent, you have all these rich people sitting on a jury that automatically don't want your black butt here. So the first thing is, okay, well, we're gonna lock this up. We're going to throw this away. And I'm the type of person that I'm going to be there. I'm going to be out there. Okay? I'm disabled, right, but I'm going to be out there. I sleep in a hospital bed, but I'd be out there. My voice is on Facebook. My voice is wherever it can be heard. And you got me. I'm with it. I'm with it.
All right.
So I will try to convince as many people as possible that this is what needs to be done. It needs to be done.
Yes,
we as black people. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. But I want to go ahead and take the next caller. I'm going to leave you open and open you back up when we return from break. But the last four digits, 2865, welcome to Sign of the Times. Who are we speaking with?
This is Elena calling from Georgia. Greetings.
Nadja, Elena.
Greetings.
Nadja, how are you? How are you?
I'm good.
That I came in late. I've been incognito for a minute, but I'm working on a project. Man, it's been so much said, I don't even know where to start. It's just that I'm excited. I see where the organization is going. It's in the same direction where I'm going, except the organization is practical at a grassroots level. I'm excited. It's something that I can see myself in. I convinced some of the hardest people in my family, and they're very supportive. You know, so if you can't find support within your family, then, you know, something's wrong with the picture. But, you know, my sisters are down. I have cousins. Once I ran it by them what we are doing, everybody is excited because we need to develop as the nation that we are. We are a nation within the borders of the United States, and it's time for us to start acting accordingly. When you don't know how to aggregate power and wield your power, that's one of our biggest issues. We're going to continue to be a minority group or a subgroup, and we're not a subgroup. We're not a minority. We are a strong people. We have just been misguided due to propaganda, misinformation. We've been lied about, and I'm not making excuses, and these are some internal things. We've been lied to.
Mm-hmm.
We've been brainwashed politically, legally, and even on a practical level. You know, we're not literate when it comes to finances and economics, and we don't know what our rights to control our economics are. So these are some of the issues that's just by promoting just promoting the survey and getting people acclimated to thinking about development in the areas in which you live. Like, I live here in Georgia in a rural area. I've been looking at different counties, and everywhere we live, specifically here in Georgia, whether it's in a city or a town or an unincorporated area, wherever we are the majority population, we don't own, we don't control anything. We don't control anything in those areas. So that's something to be very concerned about.
I said.
You're absolutely right, sis. You're absolutely right. I know that there's a lot of development that's happening in Georgia and in around the Atlanta area that is going to personify what we're speaking on, and that's the exploitation, if you will, of the statistics, of the numbers, of the economically challenged people who live there, but yet we very seldom see any of the trickle-down, if you will, of the benefit from those projects. So please hang out with us past the break. You're listening to Sign of the Times, brought to you by New Power Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Dr. James Thomas Jones III, and I've just recently completed a manuscript titled Creating Revolution as They Advance, a Historical Narrative of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. This work traces the demise of the nonviolent civil disobedience of the civil rights movement and the rise of both the Black Power era and Black Panther Party. Special attention is paid to Panther leaders such as Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale, Fred Hampton, Eldridge Cleaver, Bunchy Carter, and Geronimo Pratt. This story is told through the view of the Panthers and details the horrific, underhanded attacks that the organization experienced at the hands of the FBI's counterintelligence program under the orders of J. Edgar Hoover. If you're looking for the true story of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, pick up a copy of Creating Revolution as They Advance, a Historical Narrative of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense on Amazon.com. Thank you. Hello, my name is Dr. James Thomas Jones III, and I am the author of an exciting new book titled O'Bruni, An African-American Odyssey Home. Most African-Americans have some desire to discover where they are originally from. O'Bruni is the story of my personal journey to find my ancestral home. Through a host of twists and turns, I must relate that I was able to have many of my most pressing questions regarding who I am and where I come from answered by some of the least likely sources. In fact, I was able to discover some surprising things during my trip to Ghana. If such things interest you, please support a Black writer and visit Amazon.com and pick up your copy of O'Bruni, An African-American Odyssey Home, today. Thank you.
Put this on YouTube.
Yeah.
You heard this, dude.
I believe our greatest need as a people is to educate our youth. I believe that we need to move from all of the individuals and groups who are doing great things in their communities to uplift kids through better education, but we need to move from fragmentation to consolidation to coalition. They are simply products that help to create awareness.
Anytime you can put a symbol on a t-shirt that symbolizes unity, that's what we're doing.
Something for people to rally around. I use the colors of red, black, and green to reconnect African-American youth with their culture. How do you know where you're going if you don't know where you've been and what you've been through as a people? At best, we are strongest together. And in that sense, I am driven and passionate about talking to as many people and groups all over this country who, again, want to help to maximize the mission, want to help to move forward our kids with better educational opportunities.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Sign of the Times, brought to you by New Power Radio Network, the UAC, Manhood, Race, and Culture, Unity Design, and AAESociety.org is where you can find information about the gathering. And you can connect with the family that's a part of the gathering and my beloved brother, Brother LaQuay Jewell, who is my co-host on every other Friday night. So, Brother LaQuay, is there a phone number and an email address that you can give out on the air today?
Yeah, contact. CONTACT at AAESociety.org. Again, contact at AAESociety.org. And the main number is 732-807-5835.
All right. Thank you so much. We did lose one of the callers, but 2865, your line is open, so you're welcome to continue to be a part of the dialogue. One of the things that you all brought up is the importance of collective economics, and we've heard that term over and over again for I don't know how long. Dr. Claude Anderson is probably one of the most prominent known figures who speak on the importance of collective economics, but he certainly is not the only one. And one of the things that we talked about here on Sign of the Times and New Power Radio Network is boycotting and the significance of boycotting. But we talked about boycotting Christmas. And so I wanted to know, is that something that you think the African community could ever do? And with that fund that they would have spent on Christmas, do you think that they would be willing to invest in the gathering and the works of not only AAES but the UAC and keep us on the air and things like that that are going to continue to create the, I guess, safe boundaries to have these kinds of conversations that we need to have in order to move us to the next level? So what do you think about boycotting Christmas and boycotts as a whole, and do you think that our community is willing to not spend that money with the oppressors or the capitalists, the parasitic capitalists, but invest it elsewhere, especially considering that this is such an important cause and something that they could possibly invest in and see a return, if you will, on what they've invested. So I yield to you. What do you think about boycotting Christmas?
Well, my sister, I truly support it. And I'm sure others will support it. But here's the thing. I don't want to separate our politics from our economics. What good is boycotting and directing all of those funds into what we're doing and we're supporting the wrong people? At some point, we're going to have to confederate and create our own government. That way we'll have a way to distribute resources back to ourselves. I mean, we could put all our money in a pot, all we want, to move towards doing what it is that we need to do. However, if we don't have a banking system that's outside this oppressive system that we're in, if we're not moving and building outside of the same system that is oppressing us, it's not going to do any good. Of course, yes, we need to direct all of those funds away from the Europeans. We need to start establishing quasi-economic systems and other institutions where we can get our hands on assets when we need them. Because if you look at the past emergencies like Hurricane Katrina, the recent storms in Louisiana, we don't have mechanisms in place to even get bottled water to our people. So these are the type of institutions that we need, and, of course, we need to do what it is to do to pool that money together. But if we pool that money together, we need to find some outside source as opposed to what we have right now to put outside pot to put those funds in. Of course, we need to redirect anything that Europeans are benefiting from or anyone else who's not doing our people any good. I'm down with taking my money out of church. I don't go to church. I refuse to go. I'm not going to give them any money because I haven't seen a church in my area that is worthy of 10% of what I make. But I would take 10% of what I make and put it in the All African Empowerment Society because it's something doable. It's something I can see. I can see the need in my community. I can't support Reverend Chicken Bone anymore. So that's a personal issue that each one of us is going to have to start looking at. Right now, economically, we're being strangled. Physically, we're being strangled. We're being re-victimized psychologically every day, and we're going to need an alternative source to do what it is that we need to do. My biggest fear is that people misinterpret what we're doing as if we're just some fad that's going on. We're not a fad. We need to move to do what it is that we need to do. And we need to start taking control of our communities, the institutions in our communities, policies that are neglecting us, that's excluding us, We need to start looking at where we're in underdeveloped in certain areas, whether you live in rural areas or whether you live in the city. We need to take inventory in everywhere with the majority population in terms of how much money we got flowing in certain counties, in certain cities, in certain areas. It's time to move, and we're going to have to move with as a nation and start thinking like a nation. We're scattered. We've segmented ourselves into these quasi groups, and we're some of them, they're becoming more cultish. We've got to put facts on the table, and one of the things that the All African Empowerment Society does, it allows you to see. It allows you to be able to go into your community and take inventory and say, you know what, we don't have this store. We don't control this institution. The Koreans, they're benefiting. But, you know, you see this with your own eyes. And that's one of the pluses of being a representative that I've gotten. You know, I've done my research. And we're just in a bad shape right now. And, of course, we need to boycott anything that does not benefit us, anything and anybody at this point.
Now, the idea of a boycott, that's just a tactic. It's an economic tool to be used for political gain and economic gain. Most of us don't realize that Asians boycott everybody, okay? They boycott everyone all the time. Boycotting is what they do. It actually is group economics. Asians, when's the last time, if I had to ask, a black business owner. When's the last time you had an Asian customer? I probably never did, because they're boycotting you. Right? If they could boycott certain types of gas stations, they would. I know for a fact that Indians actually drive around until they find an Indian-owned gas station. You know, when it comes to what most people do, they boycott everyone else. We're the only ones who really don't boycott people. We have to have a national movement and a national outcry and some sort of savior movement for us to actually boycott someone or something, when it really needs to be financial education 101. You don't do business with people who don't do business with your people. But then if it's not financial 101, we got to go to social 101, because then we have an identity crisis where we don't even know who our people are. We get into some theoretic naming ceremony where, oh, well, I'm not really an African-American, I'm not really a black American, I'm not black at all, I'm not this, I'm that, I'm whatever it may be. Look, at the end of the day, the title or the name of it is irrelevant. And I'm not talking about from a legal standpoint, I'm just saying it's irrelevant in the standpoint, what matters is, do we have community with one another? Do we stand side by side? Do we live with one another? Do we sit here and we eat the same? Do we live the same? And do we die the same? If these all are the things that we can actually say, our title is not as important as it is those things. So therefore, boycotting is something that we need to have as a normal practice. If someone opens up a business in our community and we don't own it and we don't work in it, we don't shop there. Now, how do you get people to do that? Because now people want to go against, they have some good this, and they got, it doesn't matter. It's more important of our survival and our wealth than it is whether or not, if they have whatever, we can get it. So this becomes a question of will. This becomes a question of ethics. This becomes a question of habit and attitude. See, the biggest problem that we have in the black community is that we don't have the ability to punish those who go against the will of the many. There are no consequences. I don't have to. I can sit there and say, when you come talk to me, I don't want to hear all that black shit. Nothing happens to you if you say that. Now, you can get out there right now. You can say F the police. You can say F white people as a whole. Say the words in the wrong way and see what happens to you. And you know it. So therefore, if that's the case, it's weakness. So whether or not we can boycott something, we've proven in the past that we can boycott effectively. We brought down whole industries during the period of the 60s and the civil rights movement with boycotting. The problem is at this point is that we have lost control of the youth and the younger people or the younger generations in our community. The bonds that used to be in place, the reason why the civil rights movement was such a success, because the elders still had sway, and the elders at that period of time were pastors and leaders in the community of a spiritual sort. So therefore, they could mobilize large groups of people to do a particular thing because they had the respect. These pastors don't have that same level of respect today. Even the imams in different Muslim communities don't have the same level of respect to be able to mobilize not just within one spirituality, but across spirituality. Our economic education, like Sister Elena said, we're illiterate. And then on top of that illiterate, we're blind because we can't even see us for what we are. So it's multiple issues. What the All African Empowerment Society's goal is to increase the power of black people wherever they may be globally. So any and everything that we can involve ourselves in that gives us a greater degree of power, increases that relationship between us and other people to where we are in power, then we're going to do that. So any we don't patronize anybody else if we don't have to. No, you can't open up something in our community and be accepted. We're not accepting. See, these are the values that we have to take on. We have to start rejecting other people. It's not cute anymore. It's our actual survival. You don't. How many of you have pet roaches? Anybody got any pet roaches? How about some pet cancer cells? You want some of those? Now, these things make sense because I'm being extreme. Well, these people, when they come into your community, they're roaches. They're parasites. Not that they're parasites in and of themselves, but in this particular instance, they're being parasitic in your environment. They're taking from your environment and offering nothing back. You say you speak to them and you say hello and they say nothing back. That's what they're doing. So if you spoke to me and I didn't say nothing back to you and I ignored you, that's the last time you're going to speak to me, ain't it? So when you go, when they come in your community, if you spend money with them and they spend none with you, why are you still spending money with them? Because you're detached. And we need to get attached. And we need to be engaged. And we need to start realizing, okay, nobody shops here. And the people who do shop there, you start shunning them. You start dealing with them. But you got to give them an alternative. And the alternative is why we need a treasury so we can make those institutions and these other businesses to compete with them so that we don't have to necessarily go without, but we got to make sure that we don't give to them. So if we were to boycott Christmas or say we're not going to do Christmas, so now that they've trained our children to expect that, now what do we say? They've trained each of us to expect that so that we even look at each other in a negative fashion because you didn't buy something and put some funny paper on it and a bow. That your children feel like they're poor because they didn't do that or they don't have that. The people that are in your community at your church that are part of this, that are all participating. Well, you know, I do a Christmas party every year. I can't not do my Christmas party. Why not? Well, people are going to look at me funny. And so what? So we don't even have the fortitude to deal with image, to be able to change something. See, these are the type of mealy, soft personality types that we've allowed to be fostered in our community.
That's true.
And to grow and to be people that are acceptable. These are weak individuals with low self-esteem on multiple levels. It doesn't matter what kind of job they have. It doesn't matter how many possessions they have. This is who they are. This is the measure of their character. We have to come out of this.
That's
we have
true.
To have a serious wake-up call. And the serious wake-up call ain't coming from the pulpit. It ain't coming from a message every Sunday. It's coming from an everyday message. Nah, we ain't got nothing to talk about, bro. There's nothing for us to talk about. Look how you behave. Your pants hang down around your knees. I don't know. I can't respect you. I don't respect you. It's not even I can't. I don't. We have an issue. We have a problem. But you got to have people who are righteous in this mindset that they can't be punkish either. We have to establish order. And to establish order, we need people who are strong, people who are committed, and people who have no fear. Because we can't go out here and negotiate peace. We have to conquer our enemy and all of the things that he's created in our community to bring about destruction. And we can't do that on empty pockets.
That's true.
We need a treasury. Conversation is over with. We've talked this conversation for too long and for too much and in every capacity from every angle possible. So you're going to go, you're going to show up, and we're going to get into this or what? Because that's where we are right now. Because they're coming, they're taking off their mask. They're showing you their barbarism. A 10-year-old boy got chased home in New Jersey at gunpoint because he was large enough that they consider him to be an assailant adult male. So they took him home from school with guns drawn. What we supposed to do? We going to have a conversation about that?
Shouldn't.
What conversation is there to have about that? That's how it's traumatized. That parent, those parents right there feel helpless. What can they do? They can't do nothing individually, but collectively we can do something. And I don't want to march down there neither. I want somebody's job, and I want to be able to wield enough power financially and economically so that if you don't do that, people losing their houses, they losing property, they losing something. We need to be able to press a button and make stuff happen. Can't do that on empty pockets.
Mm-mm.
We need a treasury. And all we ask for the people right now who may be listening to this program and whoever hears about the All African Empowerment Society, the Gathering Campaign, we ask you to take one simple thing. Give us your consent to create this institution. Take the pledge. We ain't asking you for money. We asking you for your opinion. Do you think we need this? If that answer is yes, and if we create it and it's run appropriately, would you support it? And if that answer is yes, take the pledge. Naja.
That's right. And you can and you can take the pledge again at aaesociety.org. And in looking at something I read,
and you can also,
for tonight,
you can also go, Queen, you can also go to blackunitedstates.com.
Yeah.
That'll take you directly there as well. Blackunitedstates.com.
Okay, thank you for that. This particular article on Black History 365, it says each year African Americans spend more than $47 billion on Lincoln automobiles, $3.7 billion on alcohol, $2.5 billion on Toyotas, $2 billion on athletic shoes, $600 million each year on McDonald's and other fast food. And it says if we were to aggregate our wealth, it would rank 11th in the world. And it also, he mentions that, he says, I have an acquaintance who spends over $5,000 in Christmas clothes, sneakers, and toys for his grandkids. When I asked him why didn't he give them books as a gift, his response was, then I'd have to read to them before bed. WTF was his response. So our priorities also need to go through a paradigm shift. I think we've gotten caught up in the glitz and glamour and the shine and sparkle of the bling bling to the point where even the majority of us, according to an article I read, make less than $15 an hour as a group of people. You know, and the minimum wage is in some places at fast food restaurants $15 an hour. So we're instead of spending our money wisely, it says that we spend, the black hair care and cosmetic industry, $9 billion a year.
We spend $12 billion.
Okay, yeah, this was in 2014. I should have clarified that. Estimated expenditures on clothing alone is $29 billion, but for books per year, it's only $321 million. So where are our priorities as a group of people when, you know, we hear this phrase, if you want to keep something away from black folks, put it in a book. And here it is. These numbers pretty much prove that we aren't spending our money wisely enough. Even the small resources that some of us do have, we're still not investing them or reinvesting them into something that's going to generate a return. And as Brother LaQuay was speaking earlier, we have other nationalities that we see on a daily basis. You mentioned the bodegas earlier as well, sis. And they're everywhere. And what do? We take our checks, we take our stamp cards, we take our aid to dependent children. We even buy diapers and things that we know are overly priced, and we still spend with those businesses. So, you know, we're not looking at strictly an economic shift here. We're looking at a complete paradigm shift on how we think, how we process, and how we make decisions. And critical thinking is not something that the public school system is known for teaching. It's teaching us and our children how to be subservient to the society and to be service providers. It is not teaching entrepreneurship. It's not teaching independence. from the system. So whose fault is that, that we haven't taken our power back except for ours? So to me, the AAE Society offers a challenge, offers an opportunity for us to set a better example for our children than what we're currently setting. So as we get ready to close tonight, I am traveling tonight out of town to a conference for the weekend. So I have to get ready for my transportation to get here. But as we get ready to close for the evening, what do you want us to do between now and the next time we get together? What can we be doing? Where, you know, do you project that things will be in, say, the next couple of months by the end of the year for us as a group of AAES contributors? And I'm not talking financial contributors. I'm talking about energy and everything else, because this is going to take a lot of work for us to make this thing happen. So where do we go from here, Brother LaQuay, and do you have any homework for us?
Okay, we definitely need to get state representatives west of the Mississippi, people in Oklahoma, people in all of these other states, California, Washington, all of these other areas where we do not have state representatives. We need state representatives, and therefore we will get city representatives when we get state representatives. We are in pretty much every state that is east of the Mississippi. If anyone's listening, we need a representative for the city of Washington, D.C. That's what we need help. We need more people. We need more volunteers. We also need contributions. Those of us that are willing to contribute towards the operations, which is separate from the treasury. We're not asking people to put any money towards the treasury, but people who are willing to put money up to help us continue the operations that we're doing, we ask you to do that. We have various programs that they can participate in. We have a survival training program. We have an African worldview history class that we teach every Tuesday. All of this can be found on the programs side of the website. We have two events that are coming up. One is September 22nd in Philadelphia, the Black Wall Street Awards. We also have the next event of the Black Wall Street Awards in Camden, New Jersey, on the 29th, and we're trying to do an award in a different city every week to as many as we possibly can to get around to all of the states as possible so we can continue the process of recruiting. Our goal is to reach 15,000 before the election. So that means before November, we want to be somewhere around 15,000 in pledges, which means we're going to go a lot harder. We're expecting an infusion of cash the beginning of the month coming out. So we're going to go on a serious blitz in the community in terms of print, T-shirts, and so forth. We really want people to start the process of rallying behind the gathering because we don't have a lot of time left, and we need to aggregate our resources. So we need the process to speed up in terms of the treasury. We are definitely encouraged by the fact that we reached 5,000 within the time frame that we did, and we've gained as much support as we had. But we're going to actually increase the pace now. So in terms of homework, find us state representatives. Let us know that you want to get some of our T-shirts or some of our paraphernalia on the website. We'll ship you a bunch of cards so you can be a representative wherever you may be. In addition to that, if you're serious and want us to come see you, sign up for one of our survival classes. It only takes 20 people in your area, and we teach you all the skills that are necessary for urban and wilderness survival should you run into any type of crisis situation like they have in Louisiana right now. We're getting into the winter months, and if something should take place somewhere, you might want to know how to create fires. You might want to know how to find water and purify it. These things are things that all humans should know, but, you know, in our educational system right now, they don't teach these things to us because these things are not requirements. Who said they're not? We need to say that they are, and we need to start taking back our power. The numbers that you gave were great numbers, but they're actually vastly below what the actuals are. We are losing $12 billion roughly every single month, not every single year, to hair care products in the Koreans. We need this money back, and we need to do this like from yesterday. So this is all we need. We definitely need as many people to come forward that are willing to work together. We do not discriminate against any organization as long as you are melanated. We need all of the organizations available out there to come together and work with us to get this done. We don't wish to lay any flags anywhere. We don't wish to lay any colors anywhere. We're not looking for any ego gratification. We're looking for the accomplishment of the mission. Boom. Thank you, Naja.
Naja.
Naja. Naja. Thank you, Sister Queen, for calling in and participating and sharing your positive energy in the conversation tonight. Do you have anything that you want to say?
No, I just want to promote the gathering, and I'm hoping we can get more representatives. I'm looking forward to having a business mixer in my area, and I'd like to keep you all posted. So I'm excited, and I know we're going to pull this thing off. And at this point, I yield the floor. You all have a good night.
Good night, Priscilla.
All right. Thank you. Thank you again, Brother LaClay, for all you do, all the energy that you share with the people that you encounter, not only as a part of the gathering, but just as a brother out here making a difference in our community and society. So we appreciate you very much. And tell your beautiful wife that we say hello from time to time.
Will do.
We missed her voice tonight, but tell her that you don't have to be a stranger to call in. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, and we're definitely on that to try to spread the word about AAES and the good work that it plans on doing, and we need folks to come to the table. So, again, please go to the World Wide Web, AAESociety.org. In the meantime, between time, everybody, please have a safe weekend. If you need us, give us a call. Reach out to us, 330-366-6838. 330-366-6838 is our 24-hour line here in Sign of the Times. If something's going on and we need to do a broadcast, just give us a call. We'll make it happen. We love you. We appreciate you, and we'll see you soon. Peace.
Okay. Naja.
To all the people who can quest like a tribe does. Before this, did you really know what live was? Comprehend to the track force, why? Cuz getting mentions on the tip of the vibe buzz. Rock and roll to the beat of the funk fuzz. Wipe your feet really good on the rhythm rug. If you feel the urge to freak, do the jitterbug. Come and spread your arms if you really need a hug. Afrocentric living is a big shrug. A life filled with, that's what I love. A lower plateau is what we're above. If you diss us, we won't even think of. We'll nip of the dog and give a big shove. This rhythm really fits like a sun glove. Like a box of positives, it's a plus love. As the tribe flies high like a dove.
Boy, this track really has a lot of flavor. When it comes to rhythms, Quest is your savior. Follow us for the funky behavior. Make a note on the rhythm we gave ya. Feel free, drop your pants, yeah, yeah, hey, ya. Do you like the garments that we wear. I instruct you to be the obeyer, a rhythm recipe that you'll savor. Doesn't matter if you're minor or major. Yes, the tribe of the game with a player. As you inhale like a breath of fresh air.